Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Monday, October 28, 2024, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics on page 55, the third paragraph. We finally saw that faith, and we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Alicia A., 12 Traditions, Susan G., and readers of the text, Harlan G., Marjo, and Tamara C. The share ID for yesterday, Sunday, October 27th, our special edition, 21863. That's 21863. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Alicia A. is going to read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Alicia.
Good morning, Alicia A. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted that we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to all of them. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for a knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass.
Thank you, Alicia A. And Susan G. is going to read our 12 traditions. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Lynn and everyone. Welcome. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous are: 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain our personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place before personalities. Grateful to be of service this morning. I pass.
Thank you, Susan G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for readers is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics. On page 55, the third paragraph, we finally saw that face, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph. And Harlan G. is going to get us started. Good morning, Harlan.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. It was so with us. As I say, I'm Harlan G., a recovered compulsive overeater in Scottsdale, Arizona, and this paragraph has great meaning to me because what this paragraph is telling me is that I, although I was angry at God for decades and decades of my life, I still could not get angry at something that did not exist. Somewhere inside of me, I knew that there was a God and it wasn't me, and that this God was very powerful. And I knew somewhere in the back of my heart, in the back of my soul, that this God was going to be my only salvation if I was going to have any kind of life at all whatsoever, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. The more I drew closer to God, the better my life got. And it says here, sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. How do I search fearlessly for God? Well, there's a couple of things I have to do. The first thing I have to know in my heart is that God most often resides in the face of one of his needy children. And if I reach out to do service, I will find God every time. There has never been a time when I have reached out for the hand of God when it wasn't there. The other thing I have to learn about myself is, and I don't know how it is for anyone else, when I have to talk myself into something, when I have to sell myself on an idea, an action, a food, something, when I have to have the itty-bitty committee in my head going chattering nonstop about why I should be able to do something, it is my will. Excuse me, I'm sorry. When the idea comes to me and it is downhill, downstream, it is just easy, it flows, this is the will of God in my life every time. And the more I give the finger to God's will, the worse my life gets. And I got practiced at giving him the finger. I found the great reality deep down within us. What is the great reality? The great reality is when I walk to God, he runs to me. The great reality is there is a God and it is not me. Now, there are atheists and there are agnostics here. Can they recover? Absolutely. As long as we remember that the great question of step two isn't, do you believe in God? The great question of step two is, do you believe or are you willing to believe that there is a power greater than yourself? Whether you call that power nature, whether you call that power, whatever you call that power, as long as we are willing to believe that there is a power greater than ourselves, we are on our way to recovery. And in the last analysis there, it is only there that he may be found, and so it was with us. And the more I walk to God, the more he runs to me, and the better and better and better my life gets. My life on self-will is a dumpster fire. My life in God's will is fantastic. My life works with God and doesn't work with Harlan. That's just the way it is, and that's part of that great reality deep down. He knows. I don't. I will trust him. Okay, with that, Lynn, I will give it back to you and I will pass. Thank you so much for your service.
Thank you, Harlan G., for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share this morning?
Julia M.
Christina J.
Wanda R.
Leah S.
Noel J.
Wanda
Jennifer
R.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard, please. I heard Julie M., Christina J., Wanda R., Leah, and Noelle J. Who did I miss, please?
Jennifer C.,
R.
Sorry, there was somebody else besides Hanayeta R. Who was that, please?
Amy G.
Okay, great. I've got my lineup, thank you. Julie M., Christina J., Wanda R., Leah, Noel J., Hanayeta R., and Amy G. And good morning, Julie M. Where are you calling from, please?
Good morning. This is Julie M. from New York. I'm so grateful to this program and Vision to you. And thank you, moderator, for being there this morning for us. This particular paragraph to me speaks the truth. The truth is that I am not God, and although I grew up with a religion of my understanding, which I love and I practice, it's not the same for me. You know, I've been able to separate both religion and spirituality, and when I came into the rooms 22 years ago, I found out that I wasn't God, and I found out that through the steps, through taking the fearless and searching moral inventory, through having a sponsor, to surrendering, and to finding the God of my understanding that truly loves me today, not the punishing God, but a God that is within myself, right? So every time that I'm starting to take my will back, I know that that's Julie playing God. When I surrender, when I love myself, and when I know that God is with me, I don't have to worry anymore. And this is what this program has done to me. And this is in particular when I came to Vision 20 months ago and I became abstinent. God really showed me that he loved me and he cared for me. So if you're struggling, please don't leave until the miracle happens. Again, thank you all, and especially all the people on Vision. Have a great day.
Thank you, Julie M. from New York. Now we have Christina J. from some part of Carolina. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Lynn S. Christina J. from North Carolina. If I fly up above in the sky like an eagle and I look down with an eagle eye, I see myself. I am smaller than an ant. I am smaller than an ant, and for me to go around thinking that I know best, that I know how to run things, is insane to me. That I was God. I never thought I was God, but I didn't trust God. And I didn't know that. And what really came to me this morning was, I can look back at my childhood and all the trauma and the abuse and things that happened coming up, and I can't believe I'm still here today. I can't believe that God saved me. And all I know is that in this flood we just had here, I said to someone when they had survival guilt, God saved us because we have some work to do, and God took those home because they needed to go home now for some reason. I don't know. I can't judge it. But I have a responsibility that I have recovery to do God's work because he saved me my whole life, and I had faith. I had faith in this God, but I never trusted him with my life. And what I've come to now is that Harlan and the last gal shared so incredible is that he's inside of me. And I always felt that in my heart, but I didn't go to it. I didn't go to it. And now I have this friend, as it talks about, you know, it says, you know, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend, he's my friend. And I go to him with my problems. I go to him with my gratitude. He's my savior. I mean, I don't mean that in a religious way. I mean, he saves my backside every day. And that's the only place I can find him. I used to raise my hands in church. Everybody raised their hands. God was some big sky out there, you know. But now I see God everywhere, and I especially feel him in my heart. I feel him guiding my life. And some days it's not so great. I'm dull. Yesterday I was depressed. I wanted things my way. I was unhappy. And I got to do service last night on a meeting, and it raised me so high I couldn't hardly sleep. God knows what he's doing. You know, I didn't want to share because I was so depressed, but I went on and God used me. And this is what it's about, to give our experience strength and hope, and to give that God that we feel inside of us, the words that come. It's not up to me anymore. So faith in a God is part of my makeup. It always has been, but it's my duty to trust now, and trust means action. I take action to go to God every day, and he's there. So I hope it made some sort of sense, and thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. from North Carolina. Wanda R., it's your turn, followed by Leah S. Good morning, Wanda.
Hi, everybody. It's Wanda. I am so glad to believe it's been a while. I've moved. And, you know, a long time ago, my sponsor of probably many years, she passed away, said, Wanda, you're led by the Spirit. And every day I pray to God that I am led by the Spirit, that the Spirit guides me, and that I don't do anything on my own undertaking. I ask God for help every day. Join God. I remember a long time ago in program, I've been in 49 years in program, and I remember this one person said that God is my boyfriend, and I thought, wow. But, you know, God loves me unconditionally. You know, I make mistakes. I don't do everything right. And God leads me in a way that I am working through problems, or I'm working through fears, and I'm working through anxieties, and I don't have to eat over it. And when I moved, I just moved, I was able to increase my food intake so that I didn't drop too much weight, because I was working so hard from about 3 a.m. till about 10 p.m, and I did not gain weight, and it was necessary, you know, and I was a little afraid, but I had to just trust God and do the next right thing, and believe that God would get me through to what I had to do to accomplished the move. And the move was successful. And it's funny, there's a church a half a block away. And, you know, I find solace in an experience with God, and that, you know, he protects me and shelters me and keeps me safe. And I know that, you know, I think that I ate over my emotions and that I don't have to eat over my emotions anymore because I have a belief that I am protected. And with that, I pass. Thank you very much. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you, Wanda R. Next up is Leah S., followed by Noelle J. And Leah, where are you calling from, please?
Thank you so much, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S., and I'm calling you from Brooklyn, New York. And this paragraph is right here in the first sentence that I want to comment about. Just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Now, even if I didn't have a friend when I came in, I would imagine what a friend would be like. A friend would be like someone that I don't have to explain myself a million times to, and someone that really feels with me and understands me, and it's just good to be with. And it's such a beautiful and powerful way of describing it. You get your higher power, something that is really, really out of this world, something that you can't imagine. And I did that, and I called it God. And somehow these things that I started to trust in this big book and these actions that I needed to take on my behalf. Because remember, I came in, I was fat, I couldn't move, I didn't want to walk, I didn't want to do these things. And today I'm so excited to do so many things that I did not want to do, because it gives me life, it gives me feeling, it gives me purpose, it gives me sense of who I am and what I am and what God really wanted me to be. It's just a feeling, but if you don't experience it and you don't give it a try, you will not even experience it. I'm talking all over the place. Anyway, and with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah from New York. Noelle J., it's your turn, followed by Hanietta R. Good morning, Noelle.
Hi, I'm Noelle J. I'm calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thank you for service this morning. I am 2 weeks with the food down, coming out of relapse, working with a new sponsor that I am 100% sure that my higher power has brought into my life. Very grateful to be here. I like thinking about the friend line. I have a friend in my life right now. Her youngest brother just turned 18 years old, and I remember when her mother was pregnant with her brother. And it's one of those things that friendship is so, I'm so sure about that friendship. I don't question that friendship, and I'm not trying to turn it over and over and over in my mind and try to figure out why I'm friends with this person. I love the way the big book gives so many different access points, especially in We Agnostics. I've had a hard time with that after I kind of came. I was definitely of the belief of like, well, I have a faith tradition. You know, this doesn't apply to me. But in this go around, coming back into program, realizing like I have a belief in God, I have a belief in my higher power. I come from a faith tradition, but I'm not trusting my higher power. And the way that that's manifested for me in this work and this program is that I get to a place where my higher power relieves me of the obsession of the mind and the allergy, and then I take my will back because I suddenly feel like I can do it on my own. But the miracle in it today is I'm in the beginning stages again. The road is much narrower and the food has had to get much cleaner and I'm struggling. I'm okay, but I'm feeling it. But I serve such a loving, kind, compassionate God, higher power, which I choose to call God, because despite my stubbornness and despite my taking my will back, my higher power will not let me go. It is not an option. I continue to be approached by my God to say, like, no, Noelle, you can do this, and I want you to have full freedom in the food. So I still struggle, but it's almost difficult to not believe today. It's almost difficult to not just surrender to it. And I'm so grateful that my higher power is so compassionate and understanding of me, remembering that he made me this way and he loves me the way that I am. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Noelle J. from Pennsylvania. Now we have Hanayetta R. and followed by Amy G. Good morning, Hanayetta.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Lynn, thank you for your service. And, you know, to me, this paragraph is just amazing. I love when there's a paragraph that talks about the God within, you know, and the great reality deep down within us, because I feel God deep down within me. I think that it's my feelings sometimes are so strong that I feel like I could almost fly, because it's just such a wonderful, it's hard to put it into words, but, I guess it says in the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. And I agree with that. I feel like for me, I find God inside me. And I have that faith that it is part of my makeup, that I just have such a great feeling that he can do anything. And that's, he's keeping me abstinent. He keeps me from yelling at my husband. He keeps me walking. He keeps me, some days I feel like I have no energy at all. But if I say, okay, God, help me with my energy, he helps me with my energy. Whatever I need, I just yell out, please help me with this. I usually open my hands and face my palms to the sky and say, please, I'm surrendering to you. Help me. Even if I have to lift a box and put it on a shelf, if I can't quite make it, I'll say, okay, God, I can't do this alone. Help me get this box on this shelf. And I get that little bit of oomph that I need to get that on the shelf. So he walks with me in everything I do. He is my friend. He's my father. He's my confidant. He's my, I guess somebody's my boyfriend. I don't know how to explain it, but he's everything to me. And he's taken me from the heaps of despair, from the wrench that I was in the gutter. I was a gutter bottom compulsive eater. And he took me to this point, to where I am today. And with that, I'm eternally grateful. There's a miracle out there for all of us. And if you don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle, there's one waiting for you. Please keep coming back. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. All right.
Time,
please. Thank you. With that, I'll pass. Perfect timing.
Tony, Texas, thank you. Now we have Amy G. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. What an awesome meeting. So for me, my experience is that the great reality was that I really am created. I was created for faith in something and in some kind of God. I mean, we were talking about this earlier. Imagine life a couple of paragraphs ago. Imagine life without faith. Well, I can look back on my history, and it's very clear that if I wasn't going to have faith in God, it was going to be in something else, you know. And when that didn't work, having faith in something else and the disease of compulsive overeating and many other addictions took me down, I started to understand that I had a hole in the soul that I was always trying to fill with either a knife or a fork or any other mood-altering substance. And it turns out that that hole in my soul was a God-shaped hole, that I was always searching for something. And if it wasn't going to be faith in some kind of God, it was going to be faith in me, my willpower, and many, many other things. What was my choice to be? Either God is everything or God is nothing. But firmly agnostic by the time I came to this program, beaten and pummeled by this disease, if you had asked me, you know, in my agnosticism, go search for God, right? I wouldn't have known what to do. I would have died. Because I wouldn't have known what to do. But it turns out the search for me began when I was willing to put the food down and start the process of these 12 steps, embarking on the action of these 12 steps. That's what my sponsor said to me. I love what everyone else has said about service. Someone who reached down in the hole of my compulsive eating and said, here, let me show you the way. Take my hand. In Overeaters Anonymous, we act our way into a new way of thinking and believing. Just take the action steps. Your higher power will evolve. And my sponsor was absolutely right. The search was doing the 12 steps, was praying to God and rowing to shore and trusting and having faith. Once again, I had no problem having faith and believing in whom the problem had been solved, which was you all. And that search opened up for me, that search and doing the 12 steps opened up for me a God of my own understanding that I never dreamed possible. And now as I walk hand in hand with my God in recovery, living daily in 10, 11, and 12, my search continues to open up. I find God in these meetings. I find God in my service. I find God in serving my community. I find God in being of service in my church. I find God in reading my Bible. I find God in nature. I find God everywhere. But it all started with the willingness of the search, of the action, of the process of these 12 steps. How wonderful that I don't need an instruction manual anymore for life, right? I looked for that as a kid, and I never found it. Made it up on my own, and I'll wrap. Not a good idea, folks. But now we have this big book. We have these 12 steps to lead us to God. How awesome and blessed are we? And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Amy G. from Maryland. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later this morning, we are continuing our study of the big book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 55, the third paragraph. We finally saw that faith. And the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, no, got that wrong, Thursday or Friday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody.
Please. Jennifer C.
Josh W.
Oh.
Nancy R.
Okay, I'll tell you who I heard, because there were a couple of people together there. I heard Jennifer C. I believe I heard a Patrick, and I heard Nancy R. But who did I miss, please?
Dasha O.
W.
Okay, there's somebody W.
Ashua.
Ashua. Okay. So I've got Jennifer C., Patrick, Nancy R., Vasa O., and Oshawa W. Did I miss anyone? No? Okay, perfect. Jennifer C., can you start us off, please, and tell us where you're calling from?
Hey, good morning. Jennifer C., recovered, Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you for your service this morning. Harlan, thanks for starting us off. That was amazing. So one of the things I love, absolutely love about this book is just how strategically written it was. There were no accidents in the way that it was laid out. And God knew how to get to our hearts, right? And so by this point in the book, if I've read it up until page 55, I'm convinced that there's a power greater than me, right? Like, I'm convinced that there's a power greater than me, and it's destroying my life. It's the power of addiction. It's the addiction cycle. In this case, it's compulsive overeating. I get restless. I get irritable. I get discontent. I want ease and comfort. I want relief. My mind lies to me and tells me that this time it's going to be different, that this time I'm going to have more control, that this time I'm going to be able to stop, or that this time it doesn't even matter, right? And so I go on a spree, and I say, how did I get here again? Like, I worked so hard for recovery. I worked so hard for abstinence. I made 1,000 phone calls to get to this point, and now here I am again, knee deep in the food. Like, how did I get here? And so at that point, I make a firm resolution, and I believe myself with all my heart. I believe myself with all my heart that I'm all done. They say, are you done? I say, I'm all done. And what happens? What happens? I find myself stuck in this cycle over and over and over and over again, and it's destroying me, body, mind, and spirit. And so what this book teaches me is I need another power, because I already have a power greater than me. I need another power that's greater than me. And this power is greater than addiction. And this power is love. It's a new way of life. It's a power that saves me. It's a power that rescues me. It's a power that heals me. It's a power that knows me. And in More About Alcoholism, which I've already read, if I've gotten to We Agnostics, I have to fully concede to my innermost self, am I this girl? Am I this addict? Do I do these things? Do I destroy myself over and over again? Is my own mind my greatest liability, yes or no? Am I the jaywalker, yes or no? And see, here's the thing. Once I'm fully convinced of these things, I've got one solution. That's what this book teaches me. Stop playing games. Stop playing games. Change. I'm going to change the word. I don't like the God thing. I'm changing the word. You know what? I'm done playing games, because Bill tells me very, very clearly, and since I've read that page too, by the time I get here, he tells me very clearly that he admitted for the first time that of himself he was nothing, and without God he was completely and utterly lost. That's the third step I want. That's the freedom I want. When I humbly offer myself to God and I say, God, you are the power that I want, that I need, and that is going to rescue me from the bondage of self, so that, not so I can have a glorious life and feel awesome about myself, so that I can better do his will. That's the path to freedom, and that's the recovery I want today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer C. from South Carolina. Next, we have Patrick. Patrick, can you give us the initial of your last name, please, and where you're calling from? I'm doubting perhaps I didn't hear a Patrick. So let's go to Nancy R. from New York then, please. Good morning, Nancy.
Hi, I am now unmuted. Thank you. I'm certain I am heard. I am Nancy R. in New York, a recovered compulsive overeater. First time I said recovered on this line, I said it for the first time October 27th, yesterday. I'm grateful for your service, moderator. I came on late. I'm looking forward to hearing what Harlan said. I'm grateful for his trusted servant and service and his great help. So since I came on late, I will listen. I had a great tug of the heart to come online today, and I didn't know why, and I hear it. I hear it, I found it. I have been finding the deep down God within me, but in others. I give an example. I take paratransit because I have MS, and I was taken by the driver maybe 2 hours, 2.5 hours out of the way with a shared ride, and I normally would be angry, and I looked at the person that was sharing the ride, and I was thinking I was happy for them that they were going to be dropped off first, because normally I could have been dropped off within 20 minutes instead of taking 2.5 hours out of the way and then back to where I live. And I decided to eventually talk with this person who find out their medical situation, which they were easily wanting to share. It was clear that they had blindness. They explained to me it was, they had some vision. They explained to me their past. And then I spoke to the driver as they were driving me home, wondering why the situation was. We went so far out of the way for me. But I tried to not show the anger. And found out this person was, who was very, very young, was only driving for 4 days in this paratransit, and just passed the test to become a police officer. Very young person. In the end, when they drove me home, I apologized profusely and wished them great luck, and realized the love and tolerance is not just words. It's something that can hold me together with God as I meditate, extensive meditation practice, hearing God's voice, hearing my mother's voice. I lit a candle for her on Shabbos Friday, which I am not wont to do usually, but the day before, or was it, let's see, October 25th, Thursday, was her Yahrzeit candle, her memorial candle. But when I lit the candle on Friday for her, as well as Thursday, I felt filled in a way I don't remember, feeling filled up as I said prayers and psalms and spoke to God and went over the Hebrew to learn what I was saying. Thank you very, very much for your service. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy R. from New York. Next up, we have Vasa O, followed by Ash.
Thank you. Can I be heard?
Always. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn, for your service. And I'm Vasa, grateful, grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you, Harlan, for starting us over. I cannot express the gratitude that I have today, that I've been in recovery for so long, so many years. I went to church yesterday, and they had, somebody is unmuted, please press star one to mute. I went to church yesterday, and they had about 8 recovering compulsive people with addiction, alcohol, drug, and told their stories on the stage. And I just wanted to jump out of my state, out of my seat, and just run over and tell them about my miracle recovery that I have received in the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous for the food addiction. I am so, so grateful. I was just, I tried to put the food down for so long, so many years, and I tried everything that I heard, what people did, what my doctors told me to do. I could never keep it down. I could put it down, but I always picked that up. So for me, for the first time, when I came to for my first meeting, I was ready, willing to surrender in my bathroom to God, to say, God, my higher power, whoever you are there, please help me. Forgive me for all the sins that I have committed in my lifetime. I didn't even know what sins were in those days. I remember saying, well, I didn't kill anybody. I didn't rob a bank. And I was trying to be a good girl because I knew God was in heaven. He was taking notes, the bad things that I did on earth. But anyways, that's when my first experience of love of God was when I surrendered on my knees in the bathroom. And I felt the connection. I felt that love of God it went from my head to my heart. And for the first time, I can't explain to you. I felt like the burden was lifted off my shoulder. The weight was lifted because I found he entered in my life. You know, Holy Spirit, whatever you call it, it was a good feeling. It did not strike me down. I was raised up. And that was the beginning of my new life in recovery with the 12 steps. And this is a gift. Before I came to the vision for you, I always used to say, I'm Vasa, compulsive overeater. And then I started saying, I am recovering compulsive overeater because I was not into the food any longer. So I am being recovered. It is by the grace of God, one day at a time, by working the steps the way they're laid out. And I'm so grateful. This program, it's a gift to me, and it's a gift to all of us that we work at. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa. Oh, Oshawa W., it's your turn. And Oshawa, where are you calling from, please?
Good morning. My name is Oshawa W. I'm calling from Vermont. Maybe Massachusetts on the list. All I want to say is that I'm rereading I was just reading more closely for another time, We Agnostics, in the last week. And what I realized is that, you know, we're going to start talking about step 4 soon enough, where we take our searching and fearless moral inventory. But in this paragraph, I just love that it says, sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but God was there. So this inventory of our faults is not the first time that we search fearlessly. It's not that by the time we get there, we've already fearlessly made a search for God. And just like we'll find things around ourselves that need to be healed and mended, we'll already have found a power greater than ourselves, and for me, more loving, that is holding us as we go through that. So I love that, because I think, as other people have said, there's something beautiful about trusting that each block is built on the one before. And just as we already know that there are powers greater than ourselves because of addiction, by the time we're searching fearlessly at our own shortcomings, we already know an all powerful God, because we searched fearlessly and found him too. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Oshawa W. from Massachusetts. We have time for two or three more shares. Who would like that time, please? Would anybody like to share?
This is Kelsey M. from outside Philadelphia.
Kelsey M. Who else, please?
Anita L. from outside.
Margaret D. Georgia.
Okay, great. I've got our lineup then. Kelsey M., Anita L., and Margaret J. So let's see how we do. Kelsey M., good morning. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. It's Elsie, E-L-S-I.
Thank you.
Elsie M. from outside Philadelphia. And I just take such comfort in these last three paragraphs. And I read them regularly because I need to be reminded that God is within and that God is here. And sometimes I forget that. And I have to, you know, work my program in the sense that I work on connecting with my higher power every day, several times a day, because it's so easy for me to, you know, go off and do my own, and to be reminded in these paragraphs that God is here if I seek him. And it says that in another part of the book, you know, God will make himself available if we seek him. And I just find such pleasure in reading these paragraphs, and I appreciate everybody's share. So that's all I have. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, LCM from Philadelphia. Next up is Anita L., followed by Margaret D. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia as well. I love this paragraph. You know, did I know that God lived deep down within me? Absolutely not. I had no idea when I first came into program. And through the years, my concept of my higher power has grown, and then at times it diminished. At times I was angry. And then I realized, because what did I do when I was angry? I went right back into the food and gained 40 pounds. And then I said to myself, what am I doing here? I need my higher power. Please, God, forgive me. I'm so sorry. And because God is so loving, that message has been sent today, that God is love. God picked me up and brought me back to a recovery. And today, my recovery is deeper because my connection with my higher power is closer and deeper, and I keep getting closer, and that's what I ask for every morning when I say the set-aside prayer, that God help me have an open mind and a new experience with all these things, especially with you, God, so that I can walk along this path, this journey of recovery with you, and I can come closer to you and get to know what your will is for me and how I can help others. And the one thing I wanted to share was that when I say my prayers, I used to have my hands raised up to the sky. And sometimes I have both hands raised up. Sometimes I just have one, because the other one is holding my belly and my heart. I have my fingers outstretched and I'm hunched over so that I can feel my higher power deep down within me. And sometimes I put both hands there and I talk and I pray and I meditate with my higher power, and I feel peace and love and joy and recovery. So this is available for all of us because we're all the same. So I pray that the people who are still struggling can just take that action, and just for today, we can do what we could never do alone. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Anita L. from Philadelphia, and Margaret D. from Georgia. You're going to be our last share. Good morning, Margaret.
Hey, Lynn, good morning, and good morning to everybody who's on the line. Or good morning. This paragraph kind of takes my intellectual mind and shreds it, and that's not a very comfortable place for me to be, because I'm one of those people that I do like logic. And I do like reasoning, and this idea about having to completely step off the land before I can set sail across the ocean to arrive at a new place is, even after, oh my gosh, almost 38 years, it's still kind of a frightening proposition. The way my experience has changed, though, is now when that fear comes, I do have the experience behind me of I've stepped onto the land or off the shore many times, and I've never known where I was headed to, and I've always gotten there safely. Isn't that crazy? And yet my intellect still tells me that, you know, I'm safer if I stay exactly where I am, if I hunker down and don't move, that I'll be completely safe. It's sort of like how possums think when they're out on the expressway, you know, just don't move and you will be safe. And that's probably why there's more possums on the road smushed than there are, you know, out in the woods or whatever. But at any rate, my thanks goes out this morning to Jennifer C., who said that the power that I can absolutely, truly believe in is that's greater than myself is the addiction, which just leads me to I can fire that power and go to the higher, to the power that is greater than that, even though I may not be able to describe it or, you know, do whatever my rational or logical mind wants me to do. And it's okay, because the power, my higher power, is always within me. And I guess the last thing that I want to share is over and over again, we hear that God is either everything or he's nothing. And I've never been able to go to that choice that God is absolutely everything. And with that thought, I've taken both of my feet off the shore, stepped onto the boat, whatever. So thank you, everybody. And you are all so appreciated. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Margaret D. from Georgia. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to our marvelous team Monday for their help and work in October. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Monday, October the 28th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 21864. That's 21864. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Marjo, would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. Thank you. Marjo, recovered in Walpole, Massachusetts. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until